Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk. Maybe at the gym. But you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach. And see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
This is a Piccolo Podcast production.
Well, it's a very exciting week for cricket fans in India and Australia and all over the world as one of the biggest test series on the calendar is about to start. India hosting Australia for four test matches. It's going to be an absolute thriller and we're going to preview it right here. I've got my usual co-host who took last week off, Paul Dennett. Welcome back.
G'day, Menes. G'day, everyone.
We missed you last week. Jaleesa and Lachlan were very mean to me at times. But anyway, we'll move on from that because we've got, one of the stalwarts of this podcast, Gav Joshi. Gav, welcome back.
Thanks for the kind words, Menes. When you're saying all these nice things, I'm always appreciative.
Oh, it's great to have you on. How have you been?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Looking forward to a big series coming up. I'll disclose later. I am going to head over there, but not for the first test match. But looking forward to it. It's always the big series now in international cricket.
And really exciting. You and Barrett Sundaresan have got a book launch over in India soon.
Yep. That's it's based on the last series here. So, we're looking forward to that. That's just after the Delhi test match. But, lots to look forward to. I'm looking forward to a very exciting contest in the cricket.
Well, we'll have to get you on to talk about the book at another time because you and Barrett have done a great job with that from what I've seen. But so it starts this Thursday. The first test match is in Nagpur. Gav, look, I want to just draw on your local knowledge here because I want to talk about all four grounds. What will the first test be like in Nagpur? What are conditions normally like?
Look, Nagpur, I mean, from what I'm hearing, generally Nagpur pitch is quite slow and low. It could be a ranked turner. I think India might push for that. Let's not forget that India have to win, I think, by three test matches to qualify for the WTC final. So that's also on their agenda. Nagpur tends to be, like I mentioned, it's quite cool overnight in Nagpur. It's probably about 14, 13 degrees. And during the day, it goes to about 35 degrees. So generally what tends to happen is in the morning, there's a bit of dew and that's sort of also on the pitch. So sometimes you've had these remarkable stories by domestic players there that first sort of 35 minutes, the ball can do something and it actually skids on for the spinners or actually turns more for the spinners. So it's into that period at the moment. So Nagpur, I think it'll be a I won't say a rank turner from what I'm hearing. We're still about 3-4 days out. If they don't water the pitch, it becomes a rank turner. But I think it'll be a bit of a slow turner, if I can use that term.
And then from Nagpur, they move on to Delhi. Is that another turner?
Delhi can go both ways. It's been quite cool in Delhi. By the time, another 2 weeks, the temperature might change. A hot during the day, of course. But Delhi, it's usually North Indian wickets tend to be a low bouncing wickets. You won't get a lot of turn. They're black soil up there. So you get, you know, ball keeping low. They're skiddy. Delhi is a little bit different to Nagpur. And again, a small ground. Nagpur, let's forget, it's one of the bigger grounds in India, while Delhi is a very small ground. So two big differences there, I think.
And there was talk that they were going to play the third test as a day-night test, but it seems like they've scrapped that idea. I haven't seen any reason for it. Obviously, I think it would be, the Aussies would be thrilled if they played with a pink ball. Have either of you heard anything about why that never happened?
Well, Radhika, the obvious reason, I guess, playing in Dharamshala, which is going to be, you know, up in the foothills of the Himalayas, the weather can get a little bit tricky as well. That's taken the sort of the Indian side of the side, sitting on the Indian fence. But I think that's, you know, I don't know about the pink ball, because, you know, remember India used a pink SG ball. There's a lot of lacquer on it. Last time they had a pink ball test matches, they have finished really quickly as well. So all sorts of reasons, I reckon. So, in a way, if day and night test match was to happen in India, I don't think Dharamshala is probably the place. And I think there's a lot of bounce. And I remember 2017 being there, and a lot of the Australian players, they thought it was like one of the best pitches that they played on, because it had everything. It had true bounce, had pace, it had spin, and the heat. It's quite funny because you're up in the mountains, Menas, but the sun almost feels a little bit closer to you. So it actually bakes the pitch a lot quicker. And then everyone thought it was one of the best test wickets, like, going around in India for the last 10, 12 years. So, but day and night test match, it's sad because I think you attract a bit of a crowd, whether it's in Dharamshala or anywhere else in India.
It's so far good news. I mean, what you're saying is Nagpur's going to be a turner, but Delhi and Dharamshala might get some wickets that are a bit more, friendly to the way Australians play. But then Ahmedabad, you know, the biggest ground in the world, they finish there. You know, do we know anything about that?
Yeah, Ahmedabad usually has the red soil, which comes from western part of India, which traditionally has bounce, and it sort of puffs up very quickly. But what, especially for spinners like a Nathan Lyon, it's a little bit similar to Mumbai, where there's red clay involved, and whenever it's red clay, it tends to go quite quickly. So first 2 days, but the ball actually comes onto the bat. So it becomes a really good contest. But it's the spinners who get the bounce on it. Just going back to Delhi, Menas, I don't think Australia would probably want to play in Delhi. It's really a low bounce wicket. So okay. I think Dharamshala is the one Australia would, you know, pin its hopes on. But that's pretty much the four grounds that teams are playing at.
So, Paul, we spent a lot of time talking about the Aussie 11, and we will, but, you know, what are your thoughts around the Indian team and how they might shape up?
It's really interesting looking at what the Indian media are speculating as to who they're going to be. I might disappear a couple of times when I look at my notes, but there's talk of playing the keeper, Shrikar Bharat, and playing him at number six. So I think that sounds like that's a fairly long tail, albeit Ashwin and Jadeja are pretty good. But I was chatting to Gav during the last couple of days, and Gav, you were saying that I put up a team that someone had sent out that was this, and you said it might be fairly close, as in Rohit Sharma, Kale Rahul, Pujara, Kohli, Gill, Bharat, Ashwin Jadeja, Kuldeep Yadav, Shami and Mohammad Siraj. Is that what you think it might be?
I think Akshay Patel will play. I don't think Kuldeep Yadav will play. Purely for the fact that Jadeja's coming off a long layoff. Yes, he did bowl 41 overs in a recent Ranji Trophy match, but I think the left-arm spinners, the record of India left-handed batsmen, in, if you look for the last 5 or 6 years, haven't really succeeded. I think Australian batsmen are averaging around 25 against left-arm spinners in India. We know in Australia does have a lot of left-handers. So Jadeja, I think they'll use him predominantly as a more of a batsman. And that's what when India's always used, had Akshar Patel there, Jadeja's almost become the third spinner, if I can call him that. And I think Akshar, if, especially the pitch is slow, Akshar is a lot quicker through the air. He's a lot taller, a little bit different, left arm spinners, but totally different. While Jadeja uses his shoulder a lot more. And plus, Australia haven't seen a lot of Akshar Patel, especially in test match cricket. So I think they'll go for Akshar. You know, you mentioned the tail. You look at Jadeja's record in the last 5 years. I think after Rohit Sharma, I think he averages the most in India in the last 5 years. So Jadeja's record is phenomenal. So I think he would. I think the loss of Rishabh Pant is huge because if you look, you know, KS Bharat will keep. But what Jadeja and Rishabh Pant do, especially in the last two, they add the left-handers into the mix. I think if you look at this Indian team, and if Jadeja is going to be the only left-hander in the sort of the top seven or eight, and that's something the Indian team management of the past have felt needed to be broken down. So it would be interesting to see where Jadeja bats. He could potentially even bat at number five, Paul, I think. And maybe they'll get Gill down at six and give him that freedom because you've still got, you know, likes of Ashwin and KS Bharat. I think Ashwin could even bat ahead of KS Bharat, given his record in India as well. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, unless the pitch is really, you know, very slow, I can't see Kuldeep Yadav playing. I think they'll go with Akshar Patel, but I think both the Mohammad Shami and Siraj will be the quicks for India.
Yeah, I'm disappointed.
Well, there's three big injuries for India. I mean, you've got Jasprit Bumrah, Rishabh Pant and Shreyas Iyer. So, you know, we're going to talk about the Australian injuries, but they're three big outs. So you think Sharma and Rahul will open?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Rohit Sharma's record in Test cricket, especially in India, has been phenomenal. I think he's averaging over sort of 70-odd. I think they'll be tempted because Gill's having just a golden period. I mean, yes, not just Test cricket, but more in sort of white ball format. So I think he certainly stays in the team. But I think KL Rahul's got that experience. And you know, to negotiate a class bowler like a Pat Cummins, I think you need KL Rahul at the top because those top four have got the experience then for India, you know, with Pujara and Kohli and KL Rahul and Rohit Sharma, of course. So I think they'll go with that. And I think Gill will be the flexible man. He could play a little bit of a Rishabh Pant kind of role as well. Like if he bats at six, give him a bit of a freedom. But he plays spin exceptionally well. I think Shreyas Iyer, yes, he's going to be disappointed because if you look at India's last two test matches against Bangladesh, Shreyas Iyer was phenomenal. He scored very important runs, crucial partnerships. And so I think he is a bit of a loss. And again, another exceptional player of spin bowling. He's tall. We talked about 2017, I think, at that warm-up match in Mumbai. I think he scored a double hundred against this similar Australian attack. So I think he'll be sorely missed for India in this lineup. But they've just got abundance of talent.
Yeah, look, the Jadeja and Ashwin are fantastic lower-order players. I suppose I was more meaning I'm never all that excited about the notion of the keeper coming into the top six because I just think you should pack your side with more batting. But yeah, with those two in there, and look, I'm disappointed as an Australian fan to hear you say that Patel is going to play ahead of Yadav, because although Yadav I think won the last test match of the 2017 series for India, I just think Patel is a better bowler, and I have nightmares of the Australians facing him. I think he's a really, really good bowler. So I think that what shapes it for me is that the Indian spinners are just so much better than the Australian spinners. And that's the big thing that India are obviously going to have as their advantage. I think as far as the quicks are concerned, there's not a huge amount of difference. I'd probably pick Cummins and let's say it's Cummins and Boland. I think maybe I'd favour them over Shami and Siraj, but not enormously. The interesting thing, I think, when you look at the batting lineup, that Chateshwar Pujara's recent form, it's really quite poor. I don't think he is the player that he once was. Even Kohli, I know that he's improved a bit in white ball cricket. His test form isn't quite what it once was either. And I think looking at the batting, I think maybe Australia potentially slightly edge India over the batting, but it's all going to come down to the fact that that spin trio, if it is Jadeja, Ashwin, and Akshar Patel, that's just an incredibly good trio of spinners.
Yeah, Paul, you touched on it because you look at India's last test series against Bangladesh and they were in trouble in both the test matches. And it came, the typical Rishabh Pant and Shreyas Iyer and Ravi Ashwin in the final test while chasing, I think, 144 to get them home. So I think, yes, they're very solid, those top four, given their record. But you just wonder, especially, you know, if all four of them are past their prime, and that offers Australia hope that if they get through the top four, apart from Jadeja, India has been very reliant on that sort of lower order to score runs, even when England played them just during the COVID times. You know, it was all up to a bit of Rishabh Pant. But, you know, Pujara, I think he's just so critical because he just holds up that one end. And we've seen that in Australia for so long. Like, he might just score 50, but by the time Pujara scores 50, the others around him end up scoring 100, 150 runs. So ends up in 170-odd extra runs. So, you do bring up a very valid point that the top four look good for India. They've got the experience. They've got, you know, the temperament. They've got the record. But where are they in terms of, you know, in terms of their career? There's a big, little bit of a question mark there, certainly.
Gav, yeah. Do you think Kohli will have a big series?
Well, he does rise to the occasions against Australia. One big thing, guys, and I just wanted to bring up this, and I'll get both your opinions. This could be a last, you know, a test series of a generation. If you look at most of the Australian cricketers and Indian cricketers, fair to say a lot of them are what I call pre-T20 cricket cricketers, in that they started, a lot of them started their first class career before IPL came about, or it was the early stages of the IPL. So I think it's a lot, like, you know, you look at someone like a Pat Cummins, you look at the age of both. We know Australia's an ageing squad, and even this Indian team. I mean, yes, you know, you've got some youngsters, but from Shami to Jadeja to Ashwin to Pujara to Kohli, they're well into the, you know, sort of mid-30s. I think it's just, that's what intrigues me, because this could be one of these last of the series we'll see possibly of a, you know, a true test cricket generation. I'd love to get your thoughts on it.
I mean, you're right. I mean, it could be the last time we see the Kohli versus Smith matchup. It could be the last time we see Lyon versus Ashwin. You're right. It could be, you know, Warner's going to retire soon. So you're right. It's a bit of a last hurrah. I mean, I'm not sure when Australia's due to go back to India. There was a long gap between this and the last two, or 6 years, because of the FTP. Hopefully we go back a bit sooner. But yeah, you're right. It's, you know, there's a lot on the line. But I think India just have a, you know, this team that we've just read out still looks a very formidable outfit. What do you think, Paul? Last of a generation?
I do think it is kind of a big moment for this Australian side, certainly, that we've talked about it before, that this Australian side, from a personnel point of view, is now looking right up there, as maybe not quite at the level of the very best sides that Australia's had, but it could be in that conversation. If they could, and I know it's a big if they could beat India in India and then beat England in England, then that's a very, very different look to the way that the side would otherwise be, and that could then take it to that next level. So I think, I sort of feel if Australia's going to beat India anytime in India, it's got to be this time, because I just think as the years go by, and I know Menes hates me saying this, India's just going to get better and better. I think that India do deserve to start as favourites, and if I had to put my life on it, it would be on India. But I do think Australia has a chance of causing an upset. I think that any side with Smith and Labuschagne, and to an extent Khawaja and some of the other batters as well, can really, you know, they can do something pretty special. So I'm really looking forward to it. I hope that the Australians don't do what they always do, and suddenly they're suddenly like deer in the headlights, and the ball starts turning, and some go straight through, and there's collapses that are so spectacular in the subcontinent. Hopefully, we can avoid that, and I'm optimistic that there could be an upset.
I've got sort of one thing that I'm grappling with, and Gav, maybe you'll be able to help me with this, that, you know, how the balance is going to go between the sort of importance of reverse swing and spin. Because I feel that if Australia can get the ball to reverse swing, then they could be able to do some damage. But if that doesn't happen, I just feel that India are just going to run away with it. Will reverse swing be crucial?
Yeah, I mean, look at someone like a Nagpur, quite possibly pitches are going to be abrasive. But one thing I think Indian fast bowlers don't get a lot of credit for is how they bowl at home. Umesh Yadav, who's probably not going to play a Hope Test match at Nagpur, has an exceptional record in India. I mean, you look at someone like Mohammad Siraj's figures, they're outstanding. I mean, and I think, and Virat Kohli's said this throughout his career, that he thinks that if there's one bowler he'll pick to ball in the most benign pitches, it's Mohammad Shami, because he can still do something. I mean, the most beautiful seam release since probably Mohammad Asif for Pakistan. So I think you're right, reverse swing, but if it reverses, I think it plays into India's hand a lot too. And not having Mitchell Stark there, we don't know, and we'll get to the Australian teams and discussions soon, but I think he's a big loss because, you know, the pace and so forth. But yes, you're right, Menas. Reverse swing is crucial. But let's not forget, I think Indian bowlers, especially with that SG ball, someone like Siraj, you have to give credit. He's played a lot of domestic cricket as well. They know how to hoop it. And it's just not hooping it. It's actually how to set batsmen up. And they're real masters of it.
Yeah, right. Well, let's talk about the Australian 11. I mean, big news overnight that Josh Hazlewood is all but been ruled out of the first test. And, the second test isn't far behind, so you'd have to put a question mark over that. So with, you know, Hazlewood, Stark out, and, you know, there is some talk that Cameron Green might be able to bowl in the first test. But, I mean that's such a vital piece. I mean, Paul, sort of, do you think, I mean, the whole sort of, the way we look at the team changes if Green can and can't bowl?
To an extent, and I hope that he can. It seems strange that they would say that he can't on account of that injury. But I just hope that we don't try to cover for strengths that we don't have. As in, I think no matter who we pick, our spinners are going to be inferior to India's spinners. And I think it would be a mistake to go the other way and say, oh, in 2004 we won with the quicks, let's play extra quicks, especially if we end up batting Carey at six. I think that would be diabolical to go in with that too many. I think you've got to say our strength is our batting, and we've got to rely on Nathan Lyon is going to bowl a lot of overs. I think Travis Head can bowl quite a few overs. I think two quicks is more than enough. I think Boland and Cummins will be fantastic. I'm sad that Hazlewood can't play, but I'm really excited if they do pick Boland. I think it would be a mistake to pick Lance Morris. I think he looks like a decent bowler, but I mean, he can't bat. And I know Ian Chappell's going on about, oh, you know, it doesn't matter about the bowlers. It does matter. I mean, all 11 do get to bat. And when you've got someone who's got an average of about five, comparing him and picking him versus, say, someone like Agar, if you're going to go with go to that level, I think that's a major difference. So I'd be going pretty orthodox and having two spinners, two quicks, and Green at six. And even if Green can't bowl, so be it. I'd be relying on overs out of Head and Labuschagne, and even a couple of overs out of Steve Smith if necessary.
Yes.
What do you think, Gav? Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think Boland plays. He's an automatic pick basically now for this Australian team. But yeah, like I think Travis Head. Look, India have got a lot of right-handers as well. So but as Paul rightly alluded, you know, Manus, he plays a big role. It just depends on the pitch. I think if it is a bit of a rank turner or it turns a fair bit, I think Ashton Agar plays. I think given the way India batted against the Bangladesh left-arm spinners, you'll be tempted to play Ashton Agar, I think. But we've saw in Pakistan, and in Sri Lanka where Swepson was preferred. But I don't know. I don't know about that. I think it's going to be a close. I think the pitch at Nagpur is going to dictate who Australia pick. If it's slightly slower, I think that they will probably even go for someone like a Swepson. But if it turns and they feel it's dry, Ashton Agar, and given the fact that he can bat as well, plays. But you got to pick. If Cameron Green's fit, you got to play. And I think Australia's got plenty of sort of the fifth bowling options, as Paul alluded to.
No, interesting.
I think that I would be surprised if they picked Swepson. My instinct is that they're tossing up as far as the second spinner between Agar and Murphy. That's what I feel anyway.
Yeah, I'll be perplexed if they play Murphy. Just because India's got too many right-handers. If they had abundance of left-handers, maybe. But I mean, I think from what I've been hearing. I think Murphy's on a bit of a learning tour. He's almost a bit of an apprentice. I don't think they'll throw him into the deep end. Just and purely for the fact that, you know, cricket has become a lot about matchups, especially with DRS and so forth. And I think just India playing having probably, you know, 8 right-handers doesn't quite play into Murphy's hand. But look, I mean, we saw Jason Crazier do incredible things in Nagpur all these years ago. So who knows? Give Todd Murphy a go.
Gav, I mean, you were there in 2017. There is some talk that maybe if Green can't bowl, they might just let him rest or just pick Hanscom, who's got experience on those wickets, made runs, play spin well. And the reason they'd go for Hanscom over Renshaw is the fact that he's a right-hander, so to break up the left-hander's head in Carey. I mean, do you think there's merit in that, the way Hanscom played in 2017, to look at him?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think, I mean, if Australia don't win the first test or even the second, if this tour goes perilously wrong for Australia, I think we're looking at a completely different 11, you know, sort of not even for test 3, but test 4. I can even envisage someone like a Cameron Green opening the batting in India, to be honest, in the longer format. And if Warner and Kawaja don't perform, then, you know, they have more options. And they get someone like a Hanscom sort of in the middle, because I think Cam Green's got the technique. I know he did that in a T20 game in India about maybe 6 or 8 months ago, but I wouldn't be surprised to see that. But love that. I would pick Hanscom over Renshaw. I think he's a really good player of spin. So it's going to be fascinating to see. But I think Australia will stick to what they know best, especially for the first test. And I think while it's not conservative, I think they'll go for that, you know, Carey at 7 and 6 batters, which includes Cam Green.
And probably Green then, who's the incumbent. Sorry, Paul?
I was going to say, I don't know what the solution is from an Australian point of view, Gav, but it is not at all ideal that we've got so many left-handers, with Ashwin's record against left-handers being just so amazing. I know that, you know, Khawaja plays the reverse sweep well, so does Alex Carey. That maybe to some degree slightly lessens it, but can you give me any comfort? I have this image in my mind of Ashwin standing there about to bowl round the wicket to whether it's Warner, Khawaja, Carey or Head, and just bad things happening. Can you give me any comfort?
Well, I mean, only comfort is they have had a replica of Ashwin bowling in the nets in Allura and Bangalore, so maybe they've learned plenty of him. But you're right, he's got a phenomenal record. But look, I mean, Australia, I think they're going to take India on. I mean, you know, you talk about Khawaja sweeping, reverse sweeping, Alex Carey. Spinners don't, even like an Ashwin, they don't like to be reverse swept, because it's such a, you know, a difficult shot to sort of prevent, kind of thing. You can set out the field, but it's difficult. So I think that strategy might prove successful. If you don't have the defense, don't back it. I think even, you know, a few coaches have said that in India, go out and score runs. I think Khawaja is a perfect example of that. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think Alex Carey is the same. If you're going to push and prod, you're probably going to get out. So you might as well play the reverse sweep, get fielders in different positions, and then hope for the best. Because, look, Ashwin is going to trouble you, no doubt. But before he gets you, you get him and maybe score those 20, 25 rotate to strike. I think that's the key for Australia sort of playing and negotiating Ashwin. But don't forget, I was looking at some record that more than Jadeja, Akshar Patel bowling to left-handers also has a supreme record.
Yeah, I mean, Gav, one thing I was sort of thinking about, the sort of key battles, I really think, you know, Australia's batting's really strong. So you look at, you know, Warner, Khawaja, Labuschagne, Smith, Head, and say Green, and then Carey. That's a decent batting lineup, and someone will get runs. But the key battle for me is, I think India is going to take on our second spinner. And you know, if they successfully, you know, start hitting an Agar or a Swepson out of the attack, I think, you know, Cummins is going to have his hands full trying to sort of balance his bowlers and just keep control of the scoring. And, you know, that's what you don't want. If India starts really scoring quickly and they give themselves a lot of time to bowl Australia out, then we're in lots of trouble.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what lines Nathan Lyon bowls as well. I think this summer is probably the first time I saw him a lot wider of the crease, wider of the stumps, rather. Let's see if he plays that. I mean, see, it's interesting because that's a balance that India have. You know, single like Rohit Sharma and K. Rahul are very good sweepers. They're comfortable playing the sweep. You get some Pujara and Kohli who don't sweep. So then you got, you know, Shubman Gill, the sort of no fear approach in a way. Then you got a Jadeja. So, look, I think Nathan Lyon's critical as well because how much can he do? And India's probably thinking rather than wait for the fourth or the second spinner. If we can, when I say dominate Nathan Lyon, good players of spin bowling minutes don't hit you for sixes, but they milk you for three or four singles and over. And I think that's where India are so strong, where sometimes you look at a Khawaja or even a Warner or a Carey. Apart from Smith and Labuschagne, I don't know how many of these the Australian top order can milk, as I say, milk the Indian spinners. As our good friend Stephen O'Keefe says, you know, that the good players milk you, they don't smash you.
Yeah, so I'm really worried about Australia's second spinner, how that battle works out. I see what you're saying. You know, I'm not confident Australia's batting lineups, you know, going to score big runs. I mean, you know, we should sort of get into some predictions for the series. I guess I'll start with you, Paul. Sort of any thoughts around who you think will be the dominant batter? You can pick one from each team.
Oh, obviously, I'd go the obvious of Steve Smith. I think he's in the form of his career. This is in many ways, these next few months, as I said, they're a big few months for the Australian side. They're a big few months for him as well, that if he could go and dominated India, dominated England, then when you're talking about, you know, is he the second greatest batter of all time and those sorts of things, I think these coming months are going to have a reasonable impact on that sort of discussion. So I'm backing him to do well. And obviously, Labuschagne would be my sort of second pick, but I'm optimistic that some of the other Aussies can do quite well as well. From the Indian side of things, I suppose Rohit Sharma and Shubman Gill probably are the two that I'm fearing most. But yeah, I think from the batting point of view, I think the Aussies can go okay. It's just, as you said, Menace, it's I'm worried about all of our spin compared to India's spin.
Gav, you who do you think will be the dominant batters in this series? One from each team.
I think that's the beauty of this Indian team. I don't think they rely on one player as such. Look, Rohit Sharma is still a phenomenal record. There's a couple of ranked turners. I've seen him bat on sort of against England, and he's just, you know, just phenomenal. And scores quickly, has all the shots, he's the leader. And I think he's really a phenomenal record against Australia, plays the short ball well. His tussle with Nathan Lyon is going to be fascinating because Rohit is probably old school in a little bit where he does like to loft the ball. When I say old school compared to some of the other the Indian batters. But, so I think Rohit Sharma is the big one for Australia. They've got to get him out early. And in terms of Australia, I mean, look, you can say second spinner and all that, but I think Australia need runs possibly from middle somewhere. When I say big runs, I don't, if it's a low scoring series, and I think it will be where, you know, 250, 300 could be someone like an Alex Carey, because I think, you know, he reverse sweeps, plays the unconventional shots. Maybe a good Alex Carey 40 or 50 could be sort of game turning. And I think if he can do that in a couple of test matches, who knows, he can, you know, propel Australia to a victory or even a drawn series.
Do you think Head can continue to come out and score at a runner ball and slap teams around? I mean, that's his best chance over there.
He might be given the license to do that from what we're hearing. So if he's been given the license, that's what we've got to do. But interesting, Travis Head in 2018 making his debut in Pakistan, against Pakistan, and he was like, it's all about the first 20 balls. If you can survive, you've got to trust your defence. But at the same time, you have that intent as well. I think he's changed his batting a little bit. But Travis Head, I mean, playing spin, Ashwin, he'll sweep. He's got to take them on. It just depends on how much trust you have in your defense. If Travis Head starts getting demons in his head about his defense, he might be in trouble. But if you can trust your defense in India, then you're going to go a long way of sort of, you know, playing an attacking game that's going to allow you to score more runs. So, Just one last quick one, Menaz. You know, we talk a lot about the 2017 series, and I think that was Australia's real golden chance to beat India. They went 1-0 up, probably on the verge of winning a test match in Bangalore, going 2-0 up before a remarkable partnership. India was, I think, came into that test series having played 12 or 13 test matches in the space of 3 months. I mean, that was golden chance for Australia. I think they probably missed the boat. So before you get to the series prediction, so I'm going to stick my neck out and I think India 3-1.
India 3-1 is gone early. Wow. All right. I like that. Well, I'll just jump in then. So my batters to watch, I think Smith's obviously going to, you know, be red hot. Also really, just so curious how Marnus is going to go because, he's got a phenomenal record. And I think, you know, he and Smith can put on some big partnerships for India. I mean, Shubman Gill's in great form, so he'll be one to watch. But also, I do fear Chetaswar Pujara. I know he's sort of different to some of the other players, and that's what I think scares me, the fact that, you know, he'll bat a whole day for 100 runs, no problem. And if he does that, he wears our bowlers out, the stroke players bat around him, and Australia's in real trouble. So, you know, I fear Pujara in that sort of mood. Bowling-wise... you know, I think Lyon has to take 20, 25 wickets for Australia to have a chance. Cummins will need a big series. And I think Ashwin's going to take a ton of wickets for India. But I think, you know, I'm going India 4-0. I just think Australia's just going to, as I said last podcast, I think Australia will keep up in the sort of first couple of days of a match. But then as the matches speed up and the wickets start to turn, India's just going to bolt down the straight. I just think we're going to be hammered. So Paul, what's your prediction for the series?
I've gone through about 11 in my mind while you guys were talking. if there are
Before you go make your prediction, can I just say I was on this podcast about 4 years ago, back 2017, and I think, man, as you went 4-0, I went maybe 4-0 or 3-1. But Paul was the only person that time said Australia is going to compete. And this is going to be a mighty close series. And I think he might have gone for the 2-1 result. And Paul was spot on. So, Paul, you're the barometer here. You're the perfect predictor here. So we want to listen to you.
That's the very optimist. Nice of you, Gav. You've got a much better memory than I have. I'm going to say 2-2. I'm going to say 2-2.
2-2.
I think that it's going to be a thrilling series. I think it's going to be an absolute cracker. I think Australia is going to compete for long sections of it. If forced, I'd probably go 2-2 without any confidence at all. And in terms of who's going to dominate from the bowler, I'd love to see something out of Boland and Agar for Australia. They're my ones to watch.
Yeah, Agar's just such a sort of unknown prospect. What we saw in Sydney was, you know, wasn't great against Pakistan, but yeah.
I sort of think with Agar, if they're ranked turners, then I think you'll be effective because, and Travis Head will be effective because everyone's effective. But if they're not, if they're really, low, slow, attritional cricket, then I think he can do a job containing a little bit and his batting then comes into it as well. So that's kind of like where I like him.
And I think, Paul, I think the wickets are probably sort of in between what you get in Pakistan to what you got in Sri Lanka. And I think that will entice really good cricket because they're not going to be as flat as Pakistan, but they're not going to be ranked turners. I mean, the risk for India with ranked turners, it's a bit of, as we saw in Pune 2017, is if you lose the toss and you get certain things right, let's forget Steve Smith was dropped 3 times before he went got that 100. And Australia post 200, 220, pressure's on India. So ranked turners is a bit of a gamble, especially in that first test match. I mean, 2017, because I was in Pune from what the message was get it Frank Turner because the players are fatigued, Ashwin's fatigued, Jadeja's fatigued, roll out a dust bowl, let's go 1-0 up and then we'll ease into the series. But when that backfired of India, it sort of changed their approach. They were uncertain. So I think that, like most test series, first test is so important, not just for the players and confidence, but to say for the Indian curators.
Well, I mean, it's so exciting. I mean, we're recording this Monday night. You know, it starts Thursday night Australian time. It is actually the last series between these two nations. It'll be four test matches. After this, they go to a five test match series. So, you know, it really is becoming, you know, one of the greatest contests in world cricket. I'm so glad, you know, we'll be doing daily reports after every day. They'll just be podcast only, so search Cricket Unfiltered on your favorite podcast app and you'll be getting daily reports. You know, it's going to be a great celebration of cricket for the Australian and Indian fans. You know, there's a lot of Indians in the comments already getting into the spirit of things, saying they're going to smash Australia, and look, they should be confident. They're a great team. Gav, any final words to the listeners?
Look, I think it's going to be a fascinating contest. I mean, look, from a cricketing perspective, Australia can go 1-0 up. I think we're in for a thrilling series. But if India go 1-0 up, it could go pear-shaped. I think such an important series for Khawaja and Warner. You could see Ashwin taking the new ball and Siraj. And Australian middle order can't be exposed too early if they succeed.
Paul? Any final words before hostilities begin?
Well, hostilities is an apposite word there, because I think that it is a great rivalry, and to paraphrase John Howard, what unites us Australians and Indians as cricketing lovers is much greater than what divides us. So I hope we have a series that's played in the spirit of 2001 and not in the spirit of 2007-8. I'm all for talking points and for it to whiz and bang and crackle and pop, but I hope we don't have real nasty moments. So, you know, I don't think we will. I think that the players are in, you know, the best relations between the two sides from a playing group that we've ever had, or at least in my time. So I hope that they produce a wonderful series and that it's free of nasty controversy.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone in this Australian team who's you know, sort of wants to get under the Indian sort of skin. Last series, you know, David Warner was a little bit different. 5 years have gone by. Even, you know, the competitiveness of Australian team with Smith, someone like Matty Wade was in the team as well. Nathan Lyon always loves a chat. But you just look at if Australia is to take that sort of, and India's changed as well, no longer in India sort of, kind of bullied verbally either. I mean, from Kohli to the Gills to the punts to the, well, punts not there, but, you know, the Ashwins and the Jadejas, and we know about the verbal banter. But I just, on a final note, Menas, I think Rishabh Pant's a big loss for India. We don't know if he would have succeeded, but I think he is in the head of most Australian bowlers. I think Australia fear him. And because he's not there in that middle, I think Australia will take a little bit of confidence out of that.
Yeah, I agree. The hero from the Gabba. Well, look, thanks everybody for listening and watching this preview. It's going to be a fantastic series. Tune in to all our daily wraps. So jump on. And we're also going to do some live reactions at lunchtime on YouTube only, when Paul and I can jump on and do that. So, you know, expanded coverage of this great series. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Gav. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, guys.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk, maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.